Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So I mentioned this last week, but over the Christmas holidays, our family, we traveled up to Tulsa, Oklahoma to spend some time with my wife's family. Now, just a few days before Christmas, my wife's father, he retired. And as I thought about his retirement, this really caused me to think about the different stages of life that we find ourselves in. He's retiring, while at the same time, I'm in my fourth year here as your pastor. My daughter, Emily, she is in her second semester of her junior year. Next year, she's going to be a senior in high school. I'm not sure that I'm ready for that yet. And Ethan, our son, he's in his last semester of elementary school. Next year, he's going to begin junior high. I feel like my life is just flying before my eyes. So as I think about the different life stages of my life, you may look at your life and see some similarities. You may be able to look at your own family and see the different stages of life within your own family. So last week, I cast this vision of next for us. And my desire, as we think about this vision of next, my desire is for us to ask this question, where am I in my walk with the Lord? Because just as we're all at different stages in our life, we're all at different stages in our walk with the Lord as well. Whether you're a new believer, whether you are a seasoned believer, or maybe you're here today and you would say that you are an unbeliever, you've never given your life to the Lord, we're all at different stages of our walk with the Lord. So where am I in my walk with the Lord? And this morning, we're going to launch into a new series titled Next Steps. And so over these next several weeks, as we ask this question, where am I in my walk with the Lord? I also want us to ask, what is my next step? If I'm going to move forward in my faith, what does that look like? What is my next step? For some of you, that may mean making the commitment for baptism, just like we saw Bethany and Kinley get baptized this morning. Maybe you need to make that commitment for baptism. For some of you that have been visiting this church for a while, it may mean that you need to take that step to become a member of this church body. Or maybe if you're a longer-term member, it may mean that you may need to take the step to get plugged into a growth group so that you can begin growing with other believers. Or maybe you need to take the step to begin serving. Or maybe it's a financial step that you need to take to become a faithful giver here at this church. But for some of you today, it may be that when you ask this question, where am I in my walk with the Lord, you know that you have never placed your faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been attending church for years, or maybe you are new to church this morning, but you know, I've never placed my faith in Jesus Christ. I've never surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so the next step that you need to take is really your first step, the first step of surrendering your life to Christ. And that's where we're going to start as we look at our passage this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 9. We're going to look at verses 57 through 62 this morning. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. Now, as you're turning there, I want to set this up for you by looking back at verse 51. In verse 51, we read, "When the days were coming to a close for him to be taken up, he determined to journey to Jerusalem." So I began by talking about the different life stages that we might find ourselves in. Where we are, as we think about Jesus' earthly life, where we are at this point in time in the passage, things were getting very close for Jesus to go to the cross. And this verse is looking at that, but it's also looking at that at the even broader picture, not just of Jesus' death, but also of Jesus' resurrection and even his ascension. Those words that we see there taken up here in Luke 9:51, we also see those words in Mark chapter 16 when it talks about Jesus ascending to heaven. He was taken up. But where we are in this story, where we are in Jesus' earthly life, is that things were getting very close for him to fulfill the purpose for which he came into this world. Because remember, Jesus didn't just come into this world to live among us. He didn't just come to live a good life here on this earth. No, Jesus came into this world to be our sacrifice. He came to go to the cross. And so knowing that those days were getting closer, Jesus determined to journey to Jerusalem. Now understand, when we read that word determined, we are to understand this with a greater weight than simply that Jesus made a decision. We are to understand it more than simply Jesus decided to go to Jerusalem, much like we might decide where we're going to go on vacation this year. No, this word that's translated there as determined could literally be translated as he stiffened his face. In other words, we are to understand this as an unwavering determination. Now, this may seem like an unnecessary reminder, but I think it's something that we should never get tired of being reminded of, and that is that the cross was not unexpected for Jesus. Jesus was not taken off guard when he was crucified. No, Jesus knew exactly what he was going to endure. In fact, as we think about what Jesus determined to do, I think that we can elaborate on this statement and say, when Jesus was seated on the throne in heaven, he determined to enter into this world. He determined to take on the form of a servant. He determined to go to Jerusalem. He determined to be arrested. He determined to take those beatings. He determined to allow for those nails to be driven into his hands and his feet, and he determined to wear that crown of thorns upon his brow. Jesus determined to be our sacrifice. And this is what I want you to walk away with this morning. Jesus' determination was for you. Jesus stiffened his faith with an unwavering determination so that he could go to the cross for you. Now listen, this was not because you deserve it. This was not because you are so great. But because through your unmerited salvation, God would receive glory. And so Jesus determined to go to the cross that we might be forgiven, that we might be saved. Jesus' determination was for you. So Jesus determined to go to Jerusalem, and it's while he was on his journey to Jerusalem that we see the encounters here in our passage today. So with that in mind, let's read Luke 9:57 through 62. It says, as they were traveling on the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus told him, foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. Lord, he said, first let me go bury my father. But he told him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and spread the news of the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go and say goodbye to those at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting the first half of verse 57. It says, as they were traveling on the road. So Jesus was somewhere in his journey to Jerusalem when these people began to come and meet him along the way. Jesus just had this draw to him. Even before he went to the cross, people were drawn to Jesus. And so people were meeting Jesus as he was on his journey. But this is what I want you to know. On this side of the cross, where we are today, on this side of the resurrection, we don't meet Jesus on his journey. He meets us on ours. Jesus is not the one that's traveling now. In fact, we're told in Scripture that currently Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. So Jesus is not the one on the journey. We are the ones on the journey. We're the ones that are traveling. Now, on the grand scale of things, we could say that we're traveling from birth to death. That dash, if you will, between those two dates that will be on our tombstones. The dash in between, that is our journey. Now, that's on the grander scale of things. On the smaller scale of things, it might be that you're traveling through some struggles. We may be traveling through the grief of losing a loved one. We may be traveling through our careers or our promotions. Or maybe if you're a student, you're traveling from kindergarten to graduation. But whether we're talking about the grand scale of things or the smaller scale of things, we can agree that we're on a journey. We're all traveling. So I want you to hear me again. We don't meet Jesus on his journey. He meets us on ours. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul, who was traveling on his own journey to Damascus. And at this point in time, he had a hatred for Jesus, a hatred for all of his followers, all of Christ's followers. But it was on his journey to Damascus that Jesus met him. Right where he was, in the midst of his sin, in the midst of his hatred, and Jesus took him, and Jesus changed him forever. We don't meet Jesus on his journey. He meets us on ours. So let me ask you this morning, where does Jesus need to meet you? Where are you on your journey? What is it that you're traveling through? Whatever it is, I want you to know Jesus can meet you right where you are. He can take you. He can save you. He can change you forever. So where does Jesus need to meet you? Now you might say, well, I've given my life to Christ already. Jesus has already met me on my journey. I belong to him. So would you hear this morning? Jesus is walking with you. Whatever you might be going through, you are not alone. Whether you're walking through your highest highs or your lowest lows, you have someone right there with you that's walking with you along the way. Jesus is walking with you. But now as we continue to walk through this passage and as we continue to consider what the next step is for you, especially if you would say that you've never given your life to Christ, you've never surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then there are three things that I want us to consider this morning. First, we need to count the cost. So at the end of verse 57, the man meets Jesus on the road and says to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, this sounds like a noble commitment. As a pastor, this is exactly what we want to hear from people, that their desire is to follow Jesus wherever Jesus wants them to go. But Jesus doesn't immediately respond by saying, okay, well, let's pray this prayer together. Let's begin this walk. No, in so many words, he says, before you make this commitment, you need to count the cost. He says it in this way in verse 58, foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. You see, it's possible that Jesus knew this about this man's statement, that it wasn't about heart, it was about hype. In other words, this man was not interested in surrendering his heart to Jesus. He was simply interested in the hype surrounding Jesus. Following Jesus maybe seemed glamorous. he'd likely heard about or even seen some of the miracles that Jesus had performed. Maybe he had even listened to some of Jesus' sermons and seen the crowds gathering around Jesus as he preached. And so he was interested in the hype surrounding Jesus, and maybe he even wanted to be a hype man for Jesus. But I want you to understand, Jesus doesn't want our hype. Jesus wants our hearts. Hear that again. Jesus doesn't want our hype. Jesus wants our hearts. And so Jesus is telling this man, count the cost of the commitment that you say you're willing to make. Because following me is not about glitz and glamour. Following me is not always going to be easy. Sometimes it's going to be difficult and maybe even a bit uncomfortable. So back when I was a youth pastor, I would take students on a construction mission trip, much like Palmer takes our students on a construction mission trip over spring break each year. And so the first year that I took these students on this mission trip, the church that we stayed in was this big, nice, modern facility. It had a lot to offer to the youth, including a giant game room. And so this was just a nice place for the youth to retreat to after a long day's work and just enjoy themselves and relax. But the second year, that church wasn't available to us. The church that we stayed in was a tiny little church. It was smaller than these facilities here. And so there wasn't much to offer in what we could stay in. The rooms that we slept in were very small. The showers and the bathrooms were very limited. And so that very first night that we were there, there was just kind of a lot of complaining from some of the students. This isn't what we expected. We wanted to stay in something bigger or nicer. And so I took them back to this verse on that first night. Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And I simply reminded them that doing what Jesus calls us to do, living a life of surrender to him, is not about comfort. It's not about luxury. It's about sacrifice and service. And as students began to shift their hearts, we actually ended up having an even better week. We had an even better time of service that week than we did the previous year. Following Jesus is not always comfortable. It requires sacrifice. It requires service. It requires a dying to oneself. And at times, it requires even a dying to the luxuries of this world. But this is what I want you to hear, and this is not new. I've said this before. The gain is far greater than the loss. What we gain in Jesus is far greater than anything that we might give up in this world. Whether it's our finances, whether it's our comfort, even if it's a normal roof over our head so that we can go and serve God in a mud hut in Africa, the gain is far greater than the loss. But it's not something that we are to take lightly. We're to count the cost so that when we come to Jesus, we aren't just giving him our hype. Rather, we are surrendering to him our hearts. So we need to count the cost. Second, we need to commit. So the first man that came to Jesus said, I'll follow you, Jesus. But the second person Jesus called out to, Jesus said these words, follow me. This is something that we've seen Jesus do before. Back in Luke chapter 5, that's where we see the calling of Levi or Matthew. And Matthew was sitting at his tax collection booth when Jesus came by and called out to him and said, follow me. And what we see Matthew do when Jesus says these words, follow me, Matthew immediately gets up, leaves his tax collection booth behind, and immediately begins to follow Jesus. But this man, when Jesus calls out to him, instead of getting up immediately and following Jesus, instead he responds in verse 59 by saying, first let me go bury my father. Now as we look at this, this may sound like a pretty reasonable request. why shouldn't this man be allowed to go and have a funeral and a proper burial for his father? Because when we read this, we may read this as if the man's father has already passed away. But that's more than likely not the case. It was customary in that culture at that time for families and for children, even after children would grow up, the children would often still continue to either live on the same property with their families or live with their family still, something that maybe we can relate to a little bit here in Stockdale. Their families were just close-knit. They stayed together. And so to follow Jesus meant leaving his family behind. And it may have even meant leaving his family behind to the point that he may never see his father alive again. This is long before FaceTime, right? And so to say, okay, I'll follow you, Jesus, means I may never see my father alive again. And so this request to stay and bury his father was really a commitment with an indefinite start date. It could be months or it could be years. And so his answer was really this: yes, I'll follow you, but not today. Maybe tomorrow. You know, Sarah's pawpaw was a smoker, and Sarah would often ask him when she was a little girl, she would ask him, "Pawpaw, when are you going to quit smoking?" And his answer would always be the same: "I'll quit tomorrow." But the reality is, when we're not willing to commit to something today, the reality is that tomorrow never comes. There's always going to be another reason. There's always going to be another excuse not to commit. Understand, it's not that there was anything wrong with this man's desire to stay with his family, to be close to his parents, but it's that his parents, his family, was simply an excuse preventing him from committing to Jesus today. So let me just pause right here and say this: God is not looking for our excuses. He's looking for our surrender. Listen, you are never going to be able to fully experience all that God has for you until you fully surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And you can give excuses and you can say, "I'll do it tomorrow." But at the end of the day, you're missing out on what God has for you right now. God is not looking for our excuses. He's looking for our surrender. And so I would encourage you today, don't be like this second man. Don't come to God with your excuses. Come to God with your surrender that you might truly and fully commit your life to following Christ today. And I said this already, but I'll say it again: the gain is far greater than the loss. Whatever it is that you think you will be losing by committing to Christ, the gain is far greater than the loss. So we need to count the cost and we need to commit. Finally, this morning, we need to continue forward. So after these first two men, Jesus encountered a third man on the road. And the third man's story is somewhat a combination of both of them. Because like the first, he tells Jesus, "I will follow you." But like the second, he says, "First, let me go back home." And Jesus responds to this man in verse 62 by saying, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." In other words, like a farmer determined to plow his field, the one who follows Christ must also have a determination. Now, I started this message out by talking about the determination that Jesus had when he came into this world and when he went to the cross. And Jesus' determination was for us. He determined to do these things that we might be forgiven, that we might be saved. And so as he calls us to follow him, he says to us, we also must be determined. We also must stiffen our faces as we surrender our lives to him, because the temptation is to look back. The temptation is to cling to the things of this world. The temptation is to hold on to our sins, believing that that our sins or what this world offers is somehow greater than what we are going to receive from Christ. But Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you must not look back. If you're going to follow me, you must press forward, even if it's uncomfortable and even if it's difficult, because what you gain in me is far greater than what you're looking back to. So let me just pause right here and ask, what are you looking back to? What in this world still has your attention? What is it that's preventing you from continuing forward? What are you looking back to? And let me just remind you, the gain is far greater than the loss. Nothing in this world will ever compare to the eternal riches that we receive in Jesus Christ. Don't look back to the world, but like Jesus, stiffen your face with determination that you might keep your focus fully on Him. We need to count the cost, we need to commit, and we need to continue forward. But if you're here today and you would say that the first step that you need to take is surrendering your life to Christ, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that right now. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song, and as we sing, this will be your opportunity to respond to whatever it is that the Lord is doing. And there may be several next steps that need to be taken this morning. Maybe it's that first step of surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. If you've never made that decision, but today, recognizing that Jesus died for you, that He rose again, and that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, recognizing that, if you're ready to respond, I'm going to be standing right down front. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Today, you can take that first step. But maybe you've taken that step already, and the step that you need to take is that next step of baptism, just like we saw Bethany and Kinley do this morning. If you need to make that commitment for baptism, to publicly profess your faith in Christ in that way, then I'd love to talk with you and pray with you as well. Maybe you're here and you would say, well, I've already given my life to Christ. I've already taken that next step of baptism by immersion. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know that God's calling me to make this my church home. And so the step you need to take today is simply to become a member of this church body. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. Whatever it is that the Lord is doing in your life, whatever step you need to take today, I would encourage you to take a step of obedience. Simply respond to the Lord obediently this morning. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.